Hi, my name is Jim Salyas, and I'm a retail industry consultant as part of the business analytics and optimization team for IBM.
In terms of your work, what element of retail do you focus on?
So everything that I deal with is about information. So I work with retailers who collect a tremendous amount of information through, particularly through their tills, about their customers and how they behave, how they interact, how they shop. And how to encourage them, obviously, to spend more and spend more often. So it's about increasing the size of the transaction and increasing the frequency of the interaction. But we're increasingly finding that that retailers are looking to build a lifetime relationship with their customers. So it's not a tactical transactional use of information and use of analytics. It's a strategic view, a lifetime view of a relationship with a customer or a customer segment.
The theme of the IBM summit here at START is on sustainability. So it's not just about consuming or buying more. It's also about changing the ways that we consume and buy so that they're more sustainable, lighter on the environment.
That's right.
Kind of a closed economy instead of this linear economy where we buy something and then toss it into a landfill.
That's right.
How can analytics help people consume in a smarter way? Because one of the themes that's come out over the 8 days thus far is that there is a lot of education the consumer needs. So how can analytics help us in that goal?
Right. Well, there's two separate ways that we can impact sustainability with information. One is we can provide retailers with the data to understand exactly how much of a product they need. If you think of something that goes bad, say an egg salad sandwich, it only has a certain amount of shelf life because it'll go bad. So how many of those sandwiches do I need to make sure that I sell every one that I can possibly sell and not have to throw any away, but also not leave a shelf empty when there's a customer that walks in that has to have his egg salad sandwich? So we help to eliminate waste by providing them data about spending patterns and spending habits and understanding what the demand is going to be, particularly with things like weather influencing the factor and political events and sports events. The second half of that then is, so you have smarter retailers, but you need to also have smarter customers and smarter consumers. They need to understand that a particular type of promotion, where what we call a 3 for 2, you pay for two, you end up getting three. Are you really going to consume all three of those, right? You get two liter bottles of milk for the price of one. Sounds like a great bargain to the consumer, but at the end of the day, if you're throwing it away, not only are you not benefiting from that promotion, but you're actually creating more waste. So what we are trying to do is educate the consumer in terms of how they shop, what's the actual shelf life of products, give them all the information they need to understand how much they need to buy, whether it's by providing them with smart recipes, with providing them with the provenance of a product. So if that tomato was sourced in Turkey, or if that tomato was sourced in Essex, it's going to have a longer life if it only came from, 20 kilometers away as opposed to 2,000. So all of that sort of information is available, but it's not really made available in a consumable way for the customer to understand and make their shopping decisions based on that.
I think one of the shocking statistics we've heard over the last few days is the amount of food that's wasted, about a third of the food that's wasted in terms of supermarkets, just because it goes off. What are some of the surprising things that you found in terms of the analytics and the information that can help us cut down on that wastage?
I think the primary challenge that we've had is that we know all of this information about waste. We know that people are buying too much because we actually know so much about customers. We actually would know the size of their family based on the way that they shop. So I think that we can use that information to target promotions, to target smart shopping baskets that actually help people to only buy the products that they need for that week. So smarter shopping lists, smarter shopping baskets, so that it encourages the customer to stop shopping or to buy the appropriate package size for what's going to be consumed. Now, I come from the U.S., and the Walmartization of retail is responsible for a tremendous amount of this waste because Walmart has encouraged bigger and bigger and bigger package sizes. Now, that Walmart model doesn't work in the UK because we all have tiny pantries and we have very little storage area. So why should we create massive packages, especially of disposable and organic materials which will go bad. Now I can buy 20 packs of toilet tissue because it's not ever going to go bad if I have room to stash it somewhere. But I should never buy 60 bananas because I live alone. I'm never going to eat 60 bananas. So it's educating the consumer as to what to buy, which will incent the retailers to do smaller and smaller pack sizes so that it will be used and not thrown away.
It was interesting. Robert Gillis, the director of Plan A at Marks and Spencer's, was talking about the impact of labeling.
Right.
And he said that when they put on the label, this was air-shipped.
Right.
Even though there was an anticipated environmental impact because of that air shipping, people bought that in greater number because they saw that as fresher.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I think that's another thing that came out over a couple of days, is just labeling in a way that allows people to make sustainable decisions if that's what they want to do. So how do we label things better so that it's really easy for a customer when they go into a shop and say, I want to live in a sustainable way,
right,
and pick and choose those items to fit that lifestyle?
Well, I think there's only so much space on a package that we can put information. And in fact, we're trying to reduce package sizing and packaging overall so that we're not throwing away so much of the packaging. So I think we're going to have to look at clever things like giving people the option to scan the barcode with their iPhone and have all that information come up. So it could tell them how many days since this product was picked. We're talking about fresh foods primarily. How far did it have to travel? So what was the carbon footprint of that particular product? Is there available another product that has been sourced more locally at a similar price? Things like how much a typical family would consume of this product that you have in your hand that you've just scanned. So provide all that information to them in a readable form on their iPhone or other smart device, as opposed to trying to put it on the label. Because to be honest, all of us look at something that looks pretty on the label, whether it's a brand or a logo or whatever, and pick that up. We don't really spend a lot of time reading what's on the label.
Yeah, it's a shop, not a library.
That's right. Exactly.
So another thing, one of the issues in terms of collecting all this information, and you've highlighted how much information retailers have about their customers, is that idea of who owns that information, what
right.
do they do with it. So obviously, it helps companies make better choices in terms of better sales and more sustainable choices. However, how do we make sure that privacy is respected and consumers don't feel that they're just a number and that their data is being misused?
Right. Well, I think in 99.9% of cases, the data that retailers need is at an aggregated level. So I would never drill down to a single market basket so that I know exactly how Jim shopped last week and create a marketing campaign specifically for Jim. So data is always aggregated, so it's at a segment level, so it's tens of records or hundreds of records or thousands of records, because otherwise it doesn't really mean anything. So I think consumers should feel fairly comfortable that they might be part of a segment, so as a result they might be getting a particular marketing campaign. But a retailer just doesn't have the time, nor do they have the interest of going down to the individual level. And in fact, the more information that customers can share with a retailer or with any other business that they interact with, the less waste there is in the conversation and in the exchange of information. You get the product that you actually are looking for. You get an offer that's relevant to you. You do business with a company that knows you well enough to know what products and services to offer you. And when you get new companies looking for your business, they're only offering you goods and services that you would be interested in. So, you know, keeping your inbox lean and mean is the same thing as, a sustainability issue, because I've only got so much time in the day to read my email anyways, or to sift through what comes through the post box.
So can you give us a flavor of some of the conversations that have happened? Because this morning after we had the initial keynotes, there were some discussions. What were some of the issues? Obviously, John Granger at IBM kind of outlined some of those around privacy. We're going to have concentrations of power and
right.
places where we may be comfortable with that, may not be comfortable with that. And also moving away from gut-based decision-making, intuition,
right.
to actually making decisions based on this analysis of data we're doing. Can you give us a flavor of some of the conclusions from this morning?
Yeah, so we've had a number of debates, both over coffee and internally in some of the sessions that have continued since this morning. I think one of the challenges that we have is there's not one single solution to the sustainability issue. Sustainability means something different to us in the Western world than it would in Africa or than it would in Asia. So we need to be very careful that we're not taking a Western-centric approach to any of the solutions to these challenges. We also need to be very specific about the rights of the individual and the obligations of the collective. So whether it's an organization or a company, they have a duty of care when it comes to data privacy, for example. They have a duty of care. The individual also has a responsibility in their own actions, their own behavior. We each have to take action to move to a more sustainable planet. So it was the balance between those two things of individuals' obligations and then the collective's duty of care and responsibilities.